The word of God given to us today is Jonah chapter 2, verse 10 to chapter 3, verse 3. I will now read the word of God. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Amen. The British Daily, The Independent, recently ran an article in its Brazil World Cup special section entitled The 100 Greatest World Cup Moments. The Korea-Italy game during the 2002 Korea-Japan World Cup quarterfinals was among those selected. The paper began by saying, South Korea's run to the 2002 World Cup semifinals was remarkable, and went on to say, along the way they disposed of Portugal, Italy, and Spain, and it was the match against the Italians that caught the most attention. During the first half, we won a penalty kick, but ended losing 1-0. After 15 minutes of halftime, the second half started. Unlike the first half, we launched a strong offense, and at the last minute, we landed a goal, leading into extra time. Twelve minutes into extra time, with only 3 minutes to go and tied 1-1, Lee Young-pyo crossed the ball to An Jung-hwan, who successfully landed a head goal. And this reversal became a scene our nation will never forget. We were losing in the first half, but made up in the second half and shot ahead in extra time. A reversal. Winning a losing game, reversing it, is even more fun and exciting for the audience. Coach Hiddink's strategy during halftime completely transformed the second half and extension, or the extra time. The Word of God today describes what happened between Jonah chapters 1 to 2, the first half in the ocean and inside the belly of the fish, and chapters 3 to 4, the second half, when Jonah goes to Nineveh to spread the gospel. This is the middle time, the halftime in soccer, and today's gospel describes what happened. Jonah's story was a complete reversal from the first half to the second. In the middle of a life crisis, Jonah thought deeply and came to an understanding. The special lesson Jonah gives us is that he did not just stop at understanding, but made a new decision to act on it through his words and actions. In last week's sermon, I spoke to you about Jonah's three decisions he made inside the belly of the fish. First, Jonah made a decision to recover his relationship with God. I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. He decided to recover worship, to recover relations with God. Second, Jonah was determined to overcome obstacles in his environment and look only toward God. Third, Jonah made a decision not to be swayed by the world, but to be thankful in times of difficulty. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. He makes a decision. The prayer in chapter 2 relates a beautiful story of a miracle of salvation from death, grace in the midst of hardship, praise in time of crisis, a voice of thankfulness, a vow carried out, and new hope. Inside the belly of a fish, Jonah's idea of God and his faith changed fundamentally, and he changes his direction in life. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. In a dramatic reversal, he is saved, and the story ends. We're curious here. Where did the big fish vomit him out? The scholars differ as to whether it was near the Syrian coast, since Jonah had to get to Nineveh, or near Joppa, where he first boarded the ship, so as to start over again, or the Lebanese shore north of Sidon. No matter what the location, Jonah came full circle to the beginning. What did Jonah do before the word of the Lord came to him a second time, before he went to Nineveh? Scholars think Jonah went to the temple of Jerusalem, like his vow, and gave a sacrifice of thanks to God. And since he had just come back from the dead and received a great shock, he might have gone home for rest and quiet. He would have also taken time to put away his life in the palace. Short or long, Jonah clearly would have taken a half time to put away the first half of his life and prepared for the second half of God's work in Nineveh. Then why did God call Jonah to send him to Nineveh? To the people of the world, Jonah was a successful man. He had a great position that everyone envied and wanted as advisor to the king. And he carried out the job well and left many accomplishments. As the king's advisor in religious affairs, we can imagine he was also close to middle age. In a time when North Israel recovered the most of its land and was at its height of power, he helped King Jeroboam II to shape state policy, and as a man of religion was at the highest position he could attain and led a successful life. But all of a sudden, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh because he had another plan for him, a deeper meaning than he had thought. It had what Jonah could not find in the palace of King Jeroboam. It had happiness and value and meaning. What was the first half of Jonah's life like? In the king's palace, Jonah attained economic security and a social position. He had the honor of teaching the king. He had the gift of being able to read international relations and pride in helping his country develop and strong patriotism. But on the other hand, he would have been stressed and pressured by political dynamics and plots. And every time a change in policy occurred, he would have worried about new appointments and setting term limits. We do not know much about Jonah's private life. But we know it would not have been easy to balance work as a statesman and also a family life. Then what was the second half of Jonah's life in Nineveh like? In an unfamiliar foreign land without anyone he knew, with a foreign language and culture, Jonah was familiar with international politics and probably spoke foreign languages. But living in an idol-worshipping foreign land with a completely different religious background, we can imagine how spiritually anxious and difficult his life might have been. To spread the gospel of life to hundreds of thousands of Nineveh's people and have them repent and gain salvation was an incredible thing to do. To symbolically announce God's plan for the salvation of nations to the Israelites, who had fallen into thinking they were a superior race, and to provide a symbol of the Holy Son, Jesus Christ's resurrection. This was God's final goal in sending Jonah to this world. He may have left a comfortable life in the palace and gone through incredible difficulties in a strange land, but by becoming God's hand and carrying out God's will in his life, Jonah was able to achieve the greatest happiness and joy of all. A professor of psychiatry at Harvard, Armin Nicolai Jr., has said that the most important thing in life is relationships. According to him, when bright young students who have just entered college are asked about their life goals, they answer success. When he asks them, what does that mean? Most students give answers related to prestige or wealth. So he gives them a different framework. Our lives are on average 30,000 days, and only one-third of that, so 10,000 days are spent sleeping. We spend 20,000 days awake. So if you have only 20 days to live, what would you do then? Almost everyone replied that they would spend that time with family and friends. And some students with faith replied that they would spend those days on their relationship with God. But for most, after graduating from college, they concentrated on gaining wealth and prestige and left their families and friends behind in pursuit of success. and sometimes they even forgot or ignored God. At the end of life, the most important things are family and friends and God, but our lives are full of contradictions. In a conversation with God, Rita Strickland explains our foolishness. Human beings grow tired of their childhood and want to grow up fast. And when they are old, they want to go back to childhood. They ruin their health for the sake of making money and waste money to recover their health. They worry about the future and miss the precious moments right now. So they cannot live properly now or in the future. Humans live as if they will never die and die regretting as if they had never lived. People think doing their work well and accomplishing things at work and gaining a sense of achievement and high position and wealth, these things spell success. But what is real success like? Ralph Waldo Emerson defines success as the following. Success: to laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition. To know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. The writer thinks that finding God's meaning in life and carrying out that meaning is the most important thing. Because our success or failure is only made clear to us when we stand before God. Jonah went through his own halftime, discovered God's meaning for him, and became God's tool. And he carried out what God meant for him. The Bible gives us many people who have taken a halftime in their lives and become God's tool. The first half of Moses' life was spent growing up in a palace. His young passion led him to think he could free his people, and he went as far as to kill an Egyptian soldier who was tormenting a fellow Israelite. But they mocked him, saying, "Who made you our leader?" And he fled the soldiers into the Midian desert. After 40 years of long halftime, God's word came to Moses at the poor old age of 80. And he went forward with only God's staff to lean on. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1 says, "When you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you." Moses leaned on God through his faith and went forward to the end of his life. As we all know, the first half of Paul's life was spent as a Jew living a faithful life. His education and his success at work made Saul a leader of the Jewish faith. But after meeting Jesus personally, his life and direction changed completely. His second half was spent as the great Apostle Paul, who spread the gospel across the Mediterranean. But he spent a long half-time between the first and second half training in the Arabian desert and hiding away in his hometown, Tarsus. Let us apply the Word of God today to our lives. When did Jonah's half-time happen to me? Have I had a half-time? Sometimes we take a half-time on purpose to prepare for our futures. Sometimes, in spite of our wishes, we have to rest because our situation changes. It can be a job change or a demotion, a painful event, or a long waiting period. We might be sick in bed and be unable to achieve what we want. Sometimes it is brief, but for some, it lasts for years. But in order to achieve a meaningful life, a second half carrying out God's will, this time becomes precious golden time given to us by God. Then what do we need to do at this time? And what did Jonah do? The title for the sermon today is in chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah listened to the word of Jehovah again. Do you think he went through life hearing sermons only once or twice, or reading the Bible only a few times? He was the king's religious advisor and would have already mastered the Torah and other religious texts. He would have preached countless sermons many times to people. But that was only knowledge. Now his attitude toward God's word had changed. Before, he read and researched the word in order to teach. Now he received it as God's word for himself. Previously, he used the word in order to further his own objectives. His own plan went before the word, and his own goals were greater than God's command. But now he had met God personally and realized his own life amounted to nothing. He realized from experience that it was nothing but a handful of dust, so that if God took him, his life would be over in a second. Many people listen to God's word only with their ears. It seems to have grown worse since we can hear God's word everywhere. We hear only what we want to hear and see only what we want to see. And it is the same when we listen to God's word. But the Bible is not just letters printed on paper. It is the living, powerful word of the God who created this world. To believe in God is to believe His word. What we need to do right now is to commit our lives to this word and obey the word today. There are some of us who think since God called Jonah and spoke to him a second time, it would be great if he came and spoke to me in person, like Jonah. But if we think deeply about it, the Lord has already spoken to us. He has allowed us the Bible that we can read line by line. And not only that, but His only Son He sent so that we might meet God through His Word and His life. The problem is not that God does not speak, but that I will not listen to Him. I am blinded by my greed and I am unable to discern the Lord's will. I only hear what I want to hear and I interpret God's word according to my own plans. That is why I cannot hear God's voice. Jonah tried to ignore God's word at first, but now he lives captured by the words that God spoke to him a second time. Each of us have different lives to live. Jonah was living his life when he received the word of God, and Moses was living his life when he received the word of God. Whatever life I am living right now, I am living it because it is what I need, and it's the life God has granted me. When you are faithful to your life and receive God's word as a message for yourself, God will use your life to let you hear His voice directed only towards you and to no one else. A meaningful life is a life that is spent living out God's will and His plan for me. Because it is God who has sent me to this earth and God who has saved me. When you realize that the master of your life is Christ, the purpose and direction of your life changes. Doing God's will, not your own, is true happiness in life. The author of Halftime, Bob Bufford, was the owner of a local cable TV station and the head of a household who had lived a happy and successful life. He had a 24-year-old son who was a generous and wonderful young man. But one day, he went with friends to swim in the Rio Grande River between Texas and Mexico and was lost. One survived, but two were completely gone. They searched for a week using all sorts of search methods, and the incident was shown in the news every day in their hometown of Tyler. The family prayed for at least his body to be recovered, but they had to hold a funeral without the body. 4 months later, his son's body was found 15 kilometers from the location he was last seen, and the family was once again swept in pain and suffering. What is the meaning of all this? Bob asked himself. And he vowed to do the most significant thing in life, which is to live the most essential life. While deep in sorrow and loss and living in great suffering, Bob received God's word. He accepted that God had sent him to this earth, that God had saved him, and that he would do what God wants him to do from now on. Bob Bufford made the following confession. God's power becomes complete in the weakest person. Living on this earth is an adventure that could come to a sudden end. It's an adventure that I cannot control. Einstein said, "That which is beyond the realm of science is in the realm of God." Something I couldn't explain rationally happened in my life. I decided from now on to live a truly meaningful life, trusting the Lord who transcends everything, and to depend on faith in everything. He gave up his business and began to live the second half of his life in a way that was far different from the first half. He established an NGO called the Leadership Network, which finds specialists in all fields, connects them according to their talents with churches, and supports them in serving the church. This ministry is actively ongoing to this day. Many people with faith will experience a half-time when they can look back on their lives. Many travel during this time, and others take theological classes, and others take their own quiet time. It is also a time to prepare for the future. According to experts, if the first half of life was about living a successful life, the second half is about living a significant life. That is why people start to change their views on their work and life. First, they start to put more importance on relationships than work. Second, they start to think about their role rather than their status. Third, they value being more than doing. Fourth, they put more importance on meaning than accomplishment. And fifth, if they live the first half of their lives with themselves at the center of everything, they change that center in the second half to God. Finding meaning in life doesn't mean that you need to turn your career completely around. It is about truly serving Jesus Christ in my heart and reordering my work so that I can spend more time with Him and use my talents and gifts for His kingdom. God has a wonderful plan for the second half of my life. It is a life of doing the work I want to do for His kingdom and doing the work that God has given me that I am good at. It is a life of saving lives and seeking the eternal. What is important is that I keep an open heart and accept the Bible as God's personal message to me. If you want to find God's plan and purpose for your life, which is the most precious thing in your life, you need to take time to face God on your own. Let us take a half time. Let us love the Word of God during half time and listen to His Word. Psalms Song 119 says, "Your Word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. Every time I step forward, God will guide me with His Word." May we all meet God as Jonah had met Him and accept His Word a second time as Jonah did. Let us pray. Jonah survived the sea, and during the halftime of his life, God's Word came upon him for the second time. Lord, please give us the halftime of our lives and give us your Word. Help us discover your purpose for me, to obey it, and grant us an open heart that reverently receives your Word. Let us obey your Word and help us prepare for our future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.